Tiryam nagadija sarispati vate cham. Vachadibi parichitam sadasad vishesham. Rupam stavistam hajathe mahat ajanekam.
Rupam stavistam hajathe mahat ajanekam.
Natha param parama vedmi nayaccha vanda.
Natha param parama vedmi nayaccha vanda.
By animals. Naga. Trees. Dvija, birds. Sarisripa, reptiles. Deva, demigods. Decha, demons. Macha, Adibi, by men, etc. Parichitam, pervaded. Sat asat vishesham, with varieties manifest and unmanifest. Rupam, form. Stavishtam, gross universal. Ajja, O unborn. Te, your. Mahat adi, caused by the total material energy, etc. Anekam, various causes. Na, not. Adaha, from this. Param, transcendental. Parama, O supreme. Vedmi, I know. Na, not. Yatra, where. Vedaha, various arguments. Translation. My dear Lord, O supreme unborn, I know that the different demigods and human beings are spread throughout the universe, which is caused by the total material energy. And I know that they are sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest, but I have never experienced the supreme form I behold as I see you now. Now all kinds of methods of theorizing have come to an end. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He has spread Himself throughout the universe. But although everything is resting upon Him, He is aloof. The same concept is expressed here by Dhruva Maharaj. He states that before seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, he had experienced only the varieties of material forms, which are counted at 8,400,000 species of aquatics, birds, beasts, etc. The fact is that unless one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, it is impossible to understand the ultimate form of the Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakcha Mam Abhijanati. Factual understanding of the Absolute Truth, who is the Supreme Person, cannot be obtained by any process other than devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj here compares his previous state of understanding with the perfection of understanding in the presence of the Supreme Lord. The position of a living entity is to render service. Unless he comes to the stage of appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he engages in the service of the various forms of trees, reptiles, animals, men, demigods, etc. One can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog. Another serves plants and creepers. another the demigods, and another humanity, or his boss in the office. But no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. Aside from common men, even men who are elevated in terms of spiritual understanding are at the utmost engaged in the service of the Virat Rupa, or unable to understand the ultimate form of the Lord, they worship voidism by meditation. Dhruva Maharaj, however, had been blessed by the Supreme Lord. When the Lord touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead, real knowledge was revealed from within, and Dhruva could understand the Lord's transcendental form. Dhruva Maharaj here admits that not only was he ignorant, but by years he was only a child. It would not have been possible for an ignorant child to appreciate the supreme form of the Lord had he not been blessed by the Lord, who had touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead. So here, Dhruva Maharaj is comparing his previous state of understanding with the perfection of understanding in the presence of the Supreme Lord. So he is considering that there is a spiritual quantum leap in his understanding. It's like the lights have already been turned. The lights have been turned on. Someone who's, you know, fumbling about in the dark to some degree, all of a sudden the lights turn on, and we think, "Oh, that's better. Now I can see everything." So, big difference. Or I remember when when I was 40, actually a few years back, 20 years back. But I was trying to look at some CDs, and you know, they have the writing on the edge of the cover, so you know, the small edge, so you've got them slotted in, and they have the what the CD is on the edge, the side, not the flat bit. And I was thinking, you know, they just keep writing the writing smaller and smaller and smaller, so that you just, you know, you can't even see it. And I was thinking, this is so impractical. And then one day someone picked out a CD for me, and I said, "How do you even see that?" And I said, "It's not a problem." At which stage I then realised that my eyesight had deteriorated and actually I couldn't see properly. It was the first time I understood. Yeah. And I went and got a pair of my eyes tested and got a pair of glasses, and I looked and I could see it as clear as day, you know, so it really changed everything. So here Drew is having, you know, an epiphany like that, that, you know, we think we're seeing everything clearly, we don't realise there's some impediment, even on the spiritual path, and all of a sudden everything is there. We just couldn't. It was always there, but we just really didn't see it. So this is, this has come about because he has seen the form of the Lord, and therefore he's considering that, you know, there are many philosophical understandings, you know, in this world. You can ask every person you meet to speak a little philosophy, and every person you meet will speak a little philosophy, and it will be different from the next person. Which means that they're all saying, "No, this is the truth," but If they're all speaking something different and they're all saying this is the truth, there's got to be something wrong with that. For instance, when we used to go on Sankirtan, still go on Sankirtan, but before GPS, especially when we used to walk around the street, so the old days we just get dropped off in the middle of somewhere where you don't know and they'll pick you up at the end of the day and you just do Sankirtan all day until they pick you up at some... So you sort of wander around and, you know, you're in places, suburbs or what have you, towns that you don't know. So you have to ask someone directions. So I used to notice that you ask someone directions and, you know, you'd often get the wrong directions. And then one day I was hearing Srila Prabhupada give a lecture, and he was saying that when you ask directions, you have to ask three different people. So, you know, I used to do that without fail. So I'd stop someone on the street. I've heard there's a little shopping centre around these suburbs. Can you tell me where it is? Yeah, just straight down there. Take first left and the right, and a little roundabout, and then left, you'll find it there. So you stop someone else. And they say, yes, it's just down this way. And they point in the opposite direction. But, and then you ask the third one. No, it is. It's just down there. I've just come from there. You know, so like that. So actually you have to ask. So everyone's saying something, but not, you know, if they're all saying something different, obviously that same shopping centre couldn't be in both directions. So someone's obviously wrong. You know, philosophy is like that. The whole world, every person you meet is giving a different philosophy, basically. So something's wrong there. You know, what destination are you going to get? So then Dhruva Maharaj, he's saying that now that I've seen the form of the Lord, that's it. You know, I've got I see perfectly everything that was incorrect and everything that was correct. It's all like that. So this is a very significant factor. Like that. So now, strangely enough, if you ask people if they're, you know, if you, especially if people have been to India, or they that's their background, or they're following some philosophy, you know, or religion that's come out of India, as far as they're concerned, they're all serving Krishna. They're all serving Krishna. So again, there's something wrong with that, because, you know, some are serving Krishna as they're, you know, taking intoxications, and some are, you know, engaged in all sorts of strange illicit sex, and some are, you know, eating meat, even the killing of the cows. Some are serving Krishna as they worship Ganesh. Some are serving Krishna as they worship themselves, or some guru. So, again, so, you know, there's something apparently wrong with that, that everyone is serving Krishna, and yet, you know, what is that service to Krishna? Means you can serve any person, anything, in any way that pleases oneself, and that constitutes service to Krishna. Now, here we see from Dhruva Maharaj that the problem is they don't actually understand that Krishna is a person. You know, they're considering that, you know, Krishna is impersonal, that the Supreme, the Absolute Truth, which we may call Krishna, is in fact just, you know, the energies spread everywhere, and he's within everything. The Absolute Truth is everything, because the Absolute Truth is everything, then anything you serve is the Absolute Truth, is Krishna. So we were discussing in Bhaktivedanta the other day that Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna is everything, but everything is not Krishna. So it's just a very clear statement. Krishna is everything. How? Because everything is a manifestation of his different energies. But everything is not Krishna. So now Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he makes this statement. He says, one can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog. And of course, bear in mind that as we read this, many of these people feel that as they're doing this, they're also serving Krishna. So one man engages in the service of a dog, another serves plants and creepers, another the demigods, and another humanity or his boss in the office. But no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says, no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. You know, this is the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's books, what makes it unique. If you read any other philosophical book, they're all glorifying themselves, how they're all serving Krishna. The whole world is in agreement, all the different philosophers, yes, we're all serving Krishna. Yes, it's all confirmed. We're all serving Krishna in different ways. And here's Srila Prabhupada, a single person, one voice crying in the wilderness, none of you are serving Krishna. It's quite a unique statement, isn't it? Everyone is saying they're serving Krishna. Everyone who thinks they're following some path, a spiritual path. And Srila Prabhupada says, no, none of you are serving Krishna. It's a very, you know, bold statement, very strong statement. He challenges them all, everyone. And we tend to agree with Srila Prabhupada. So, but, you know, Srila Prabhupada was a very wonderful preacher that he used to joke that he could say things like that. You know, ordinarily that would be an insult. We have to be very careful. I should be careful, I'm being filmed. But I'm just repeating what Srila Prabhupada is saying. You know, a lot of people can be offended. So therefore we have to explain this. Because we don't want Srila Prabhupada to be criticized. We don't want Krishna to be seen as impersonal. So it's important we do explain it, because the whole world has got it wrong. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he's obviously a person who is feeling deep ecstatic love for the personality of Godhead Krishna. There's no denying he has a personal relationship with Krishna. You can tell when someone's in love. You know the story of Usha. Who was it? Was it Prajumna? Prajumna ended up in Banasura's palace, yeah? And was it Prajumna or Aniruddha? Aniruddha and Usha? Yeah. And I'll say it with an Australian accent. But everyone could see she was in love. You know? You know, she's in that room. How is this possible? There's no voice coming in. You can tell when a person's in love. Everyone can tell that Srila Prabhupada's in love with Krishna. It's obvious. Srila Prabhupada spent his life glorifying Srila Prabhupada, and everyone can tell that Krishna is in love with Srila Prabhupada, because Krishna did everything he could to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And if you go back, you know, through the acharyas, you'll see that those acharyas were also in love with Krishna as a person. And love is defined as, you know, when all one's, love is reposed in one person, that's love. You know, you imagine, you know, the husband says to his wife, you know, love is defined. Otherwise, you know, what Dante Saraswati the core, we know that he was a personality who was, you know, you see his pictures, very foreboding, very, you can see, very strict, austere, serious, sober personality. And yet, even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati the core, you know, there's pastimes where he wandered off into the forest and just out of love for Krishna just went into ecstatic trance and just sort of got lost in the forest. I think they, you know, went had to look for him. You know, you can see that they're all filled with these wonderful pastimes, you know, loving sentiments to Krishna. And if you follow them all the way back, you get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that he is Krishna himself, because he was demonstrating transcendental love. So he was a sannyasi, so strict in his renunciation that it is not comparable to anyone. As Srila Prabhupada points out, you know, his wife, a beautiful wife, the goddess of fortune, and you know, opulence and influential. If he wanted to, you know, summon some people, you know, hundreds of thousands of people would come in a moment. Imagine, you know, when we're in trouble, we're basically on our own, Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, wanted some support. Hundreds of thousands immediately coming, willing to take on the, you know, the Qazi and the government. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he was a young man, very beautiful, very strong, and he just renounced all of that for Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he also experienced loving sentiments for Krishna, exclusively for Krishna, he would go into such ecstatic trances that, you know, the limbs of his body sometimes would withdraw. Defy, you know, material laws. and this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, we understand. Therefore, he is mentioned in the scriptures, in the Vedic scriptures, that in this Kali Yuga, Krishna appears as an avatar in his original. You know, the original Krishna, the full-fledged Krishna, appears, but in a covered way as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, golden form, in the mood of his devotee to teach his devotional service, and he will inaugurate the Yuga Dham of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is mentioned in the scriptures. And only one such person appeared like that, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who we follow. And he manifested all the four symptoms of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, showed us, although he sometimes manifested his form as Narasimha, as Varaha, as Sadbuja, he showed that he was the form of Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this was personally witnessed by, you know, thousands and thousands of personalities, which is written down in the books by the Goswamis as a historical personality who existed and performed these ecstatic pastimes in love of God. And through the ages, that history has been passed on to us like that. So, you know, it's just a historical history, written down. And he interacted with, you know, the Muslim qazis and different personalities and different leaders of different religious organizations, you know, which were actually, they're also written down in history, along with their interactions with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He existed. You know, it's a historical fact, only 500 years ago. So, this is mentioned by the Shastras. It is accepted by the greatest, most truthful, pious personalities. And the benefit of human society for them to mislead anyone. Their character is spotless. They have nothing to gain in this world by cheating anyone. So they are all saying that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself, and he manifested this love of God. And those who followed in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they also experienced this pure love for Krishna. And those who experienced this pure love for Krishna exclusively, they there are certain symptoms of their service to Krishna which is not manifested by all those who claim to be serving Krishna. One, those who actually serve Krishna serve him exclusively in love as a person. They consider he is a person. He is not Shiva. He is not a dog. He's not an insect. He's not a tree. He's not Lakshmi. He's not Prabhupada. He's not me. He's not you. He is Krishna, a person. And to worship him as a person in love means that they worshipped him exclusively. Now, if we treat someone as a person, we acknowledge their thoughts, their instructions, their likes and their dislikes. So Krishna says in the Gita that, you know, if you worship me, this whole material energy is my energy, and all the spirit souls, they are my spiritual energy. But that's my energy, but I'm aloof from that. I exist aloof from that as a person. So, if you serve these manifestations of my energy, without performing pure devotional service, it's not proper. That's what he says in the Gita. It's not proper. If you serve me as a person aloof from all of these other personalities, that is proper. That is Krishna's statement. So if we serve Krishna as a person, we have to accept what he personally says. I don't want to be worshipped in an improper way. I'll accept it because the Vedas are giving some opportunity at least to gradually, eventually come to the point of understanding I am a person through worshipping other different worshipable personalities. Not bogus personalities, but worshipable personalities. It is not proper. And the result is that if you worship me, you also have a spiritual form. You're not the supreme form, but you have a spiritual form in relationship to me. And by worshipping me, you develop that. If you worship the demigods, who are not me, demigod material form, but you cannot attain me because your worship is not proper. Now, what is one of the features about to go back to the spiritual world, and so it makes sense, a little ceremony at home program, ask the children, you love God. You can't hate God. You can't envy God, Krishna, and go back to the spiritual world. You can't even get into my place if you envy me. You know, I'm nobody, but still, you know, I have some principles. If someone's envious of me, I will let them in and treat them nicely, but I'll be very happy when they're gone. That's the Vedic system. You don't feed them too much. You know, if you have an unwelcome guest, you know, we follow the Vedic system. We might, even an enemy, we might let them in and, you know, be sociable and civil. But, you know, get food and water, you know, the minimum. Make sure they're satisfied. There's no animosity or hostility, but, you know, they'll get the hint that we don't want you back. A very subtle way. But, you know, how we expect to get into the kingdom of God and we envy God. Now, the difficulty with worshipping demigods is that it is done because we want to enjoy some of Krishna's property for ourselves. So everything belongs to the personality of Godhead, everything belongs to Krishna. This is his material energy, it's all his. And we're worshipping the demigods. Look, just put Krishna aside. Just put that aside for a minute that it all belongs to Krishna. Yeah, I accept that. I'm worshipping Krishna as well. Everything belongs to Krishna. Sure. Whatever you say, just put that aside for a minute, but I want a bit of that. You know, so, and I think if I worship these demigods or, you know, perform these rituals or austerities, I'll get a bit of that for myself. It's not for Krishna's birth, it's for me. But I love Krishna. So again, we're talking about, you know, the husband. I'm not looking at anyone here. I should put a mirror there. You know, the husband who says, yes, I love my wife, but, you know, but I also love this girl, and I love this girl like that. You know, there's something wrong with that. And, you know, the husband who, yes, you know, I'm deeply committed to this family. After work, you know, I get my pay packet, and I think of my family. I think of my family, and I have some anxiety, or I can't go home in anxiety. I would just pop into the pokies. Get a little bit of this anxiety off, so be nice and happy for my wife and children. Oops, pay packet gone. Maybe I have a couple of drinks, whatever, loose change I've got. Smoking, drinking, gambling. And none of it ends up in for the family. But I do love them. But if they say something, I might, bhakti means devotion. that is them. But, you know, in order to serve Krishna, I just need so much for my service, you know, so much for me, like that. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam is about love for Krishna, and it kicks out everything else which is considered to be cheating. And Krishna himself says, you give up all your other religious principles and you surrender unto me. And basically, until you do that, it's cheating. So, like anyone, you know, every single person, each and every one of us knows what it's like to be loved and what it's like to be cheated or neglected. Each and every one of us knows. Someone is saying, yes, I love you so much, and you're feeling neglected. They didn't even acknowledge me as a person or what I like, the problems I'm going through, the help I need. You know, I'd like to spend a little time with that person. Not giving me any you know, bhakti. Srila Prabhupada considers that no one is actually serving Krishna. Janmini janmini shri bhavatan bhakti ayatangitai. Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth. Lord, I desire beautiful women. Lord, I want any number of followers. I only want your causes. That, you know, he wants me. Then let me do that. So not asking for anything. Paradatam panastam amadasanam namam halam karotiva yatatatava vidicholam pato matpananatastu sevanaparaha. No one but Krishna is my Lord. No one else. And he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He's completely free to do anything and everything, but he's always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So, there is a mood of one who acknowledges that Krishna, separate, you know, apart from, or aloof from his all his energies, is a person who exists in his own right as a person. And love for Krishna and service to Krishna constitute service to Krishna, which he likes, not which Shiva likes, not which the dog likes, not which, you know, this one likes, like that. What Krishna likes, that is, when you deal with someone personally and you love someone personally, it is like that. We have that experience in our everyday life, but when it comes to Krishna, we throw out all the rules. So that, you know, that's the significant thing about Krishna, that when it comes to acting in relationship with Krishna, all of the things that people speak as logical, common sense, proper, they all just go out the window. You know, intelligence, you know, like that. So, and that is because the propensity to cheat is there. And that is the very reason why we come to the material world, because we wanted to, you know, put Krishna aside and engage in, looking after our own interests as you know, the centre of the universe. So that's why we come to this material world. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, it means that really every spot of cheating that's within our heart, in order to face Krishna properly, we actually have to put aside all that cheating. Very, very, very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. These days, same as everyone worships Krishna, everyone's vegetarian. You know, have you noticed that? You speak to someone, yes, I'm vegetarian. So you don't eat meat. Oh, look, I have a little on Friday. You know, chicken, you know, lamb, fish. That's not meat, is it? You know. Mostly I'm vegetarian. Everyone's celibate. Everyone's celibate, everyone's vegetarian. That's not drinking. We look at it, as Prabhupada says, no one is worshipping Krishna. Another eye-opener is that, when I compare myself to Dhruva Maharaj, who's now seeing, you know, who's seeing Krishna as a person, what is my level of devotional service? So when we, just like, when we see how someone who serves Krishna as a person, like Srila Prabhupada always served Krishna as a person, it was very personal. And he used to say that attention to detail in devotional service is a sign of love. So, one who really cares about Krishna, then, you know, everything that Krishna likes, every detail of it, it's important to him. Oh, this little detail, who cares? even people who love their cars. You ever seen someone, you know, people talk about cars, they love their cars. You know, someone's got a Ford, someone's got a Mustang. But, you know, because they love their car and they just, you know, got to the front lights, yeah? But when it comes to Krishna, you know, oh yeah, that's close enough. They're going to worship in, this guru in India who says he's Krishna, that's close enough. That's close enough for me. But actually, you know, if we compare, so when we see Srila Prabhupada, you know, every detail of his devotional life, from the morning time he wakes to the time, every little detail of what he does, and it doesn't matter how tired Srila Prabhupada gets. So Srila Prabhupada, I mean, he was, you know, even when he was nearly 80 or even past 80, working all day and ill, and literally had no energy left, still he wouldn't leave out a detail. You know, that it's still important, because the, you know, there are many stories of out of love. She wasn't going to be the mother for a child, although these days it's Prabhupada loves Krishna, you know, I've got a little attraction, a little affection, a little inclination, but I can see, which is very important, because it's very easy to become, conditioned, or accustomed, that compared to people, you know, the different devotees in our community or around me, I'm actually quite an advanced devotee. You know, we can sort of think like that, you know, so that, and we forget, you know, that how we're, you know, especially from our speaker myself anyway, that, and this is why it's nice to read the Prabhupada Lilamrita and the, pastimes of the Acharyas and the pastimes of, you know, Dhruva Maharaj and great personalities like that. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, as we'll see, that the Lord appeared to him, but then he was not present. But still, even when he was dealing with the material energy, he was dealing directly with Krishna as a person. So, you know, Krishna, Arjuna said to Krishna, you know, I see you as a person, but you're also saying that you are spread everywhere. Tell me about that. Krishna says, I'm the taste of the water, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So many different things. So then when, you know, Arjuna sees the light of the sun and the moon, he thinks of Krishna, the person, this is his energy. So it's not that Dhruva Maharaj, only while Krishna was personally present. Here, Dhruva Maharaj is being, by the grace of Narada Muni, because he's followed the instructions. What is our position? He's literally dancing on our tongue. Generally in ISKCON, you know, that blessing is there. People chant Hare Krishna, and if they hear from the devotees and they're submissive and take a little prasadam and offer their pranams, very quickly, after billions of years in this material world, all of a sudden they accept Krishna as a person. That, you know, that's quite phenomenal. You know, people come to the Hare Krishna movement, they have all this strange philosophy, or no philosophy, or atheism. They chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, all of a sudden they think, yes, Krishna is a person. So it's there, but of course we can develop it, you know, fully, as Srila Prabhupada shows us what full Krishna consciousness is. Which means even when we're dealing with the material energy, we're still dealing with the Krishna, the personality of Godhead, in a loving relationship exclusively. This is his material energy, the shadow of the spiritual potency. So in this way, we see that when one accepts the personality of Krishna as a person, he has a form, and one worships him exclusively with bhakti, that position, even when one is in this material world, dealing with the material energy, other living entities, or what have you, they feel that Krishna is directly associating with them, and directly maintaining them, and directly inspiring them, and directly, just like he led Arjuna on his chariot, he is directly doing that for the devotees. If they accept, as much as they accept Krishna as a person and treat him in that way, in a loving way. And one of the Srila Prabhupada, how do we know that we're doing that? Srila Prabhupada gives us a very easy formula that, you know, we chant Hare Krishna, and if the love is there, if we're doing it mechanically, that's mechanical is not love, you know. If the wife says to the husband, yes, you're very mechanical, you know, it's like, it's sort of, you know, okay, I better be a bit more personal, right? We don't want to be seen as, oh, I have a wonderful mechanical friendship with you. Yes, hello, shaking your hand. Like a robot. chanting and committing offences is mechanical. If we want to love Krishna, we do it without offence. And of all the offences that disturbs, or, you know, that Krishna takes exception to above everything, is Vaishnava Aparad. One cannot say that, yes, I have this wonderful, loving, personal relationship with Krishna. Oh, look, you know, so I offend the devotees all the time. You know, it's not a big part. I do so many other things like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I think he says, that is like massaging the living Krishna. We can be guilty of that. You know, yes, I love Krishna and I'm serving, you know, Kali in this way and eating so much meat. We can also be doing the same thing. Yes, I'm doing so much service, and I'm also offending the Vaishnavas on a regular basis. See? So, so here from Dhruva Maharaj, this personal nature, accepting Krishna in a very personal way, that he is a person, it's like a catalyst within our consciousness by which everything comes together properly in spiritual life, or it doesn't. You know, when we accept that, I may not be always able to, see Krishna as Dhruva Maharaj did, but Srila Prabhupada told us that Krishna is there in the deity form. He is non-different from Krishna. Prabhupada knows Krishna. So I can accept the deities, and Srila Prabhupada told us that the holy name of the Lord is Krishna personally. If we have the association of the devotees, it is tantamount to the association of Krishna. Krishna is personally there. In this way, you know, just that very crucial point that we're getting from Dhruva Maharaj, that above all things, to treat Krishna as a person, that he is the Supreme Person of Godhead, it is different from saying, yes, I'm serving his material energy or this or that or the other, doing so many things, but treating Krishna himself in an impersonal way, and therefore, you know, I'm doing things that Krishna personally doesn't like. That's how you treat a person personally. I'm committing offences, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, so many things like that. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any comments or questions about that. Wonderful realization by Dhruva Maharaj, by which, as we see with Dhruva Maharaj, those who are following Krishna consciousness properly and those who are following it partially, and it gives us an ability to, you know, progress and also to see the progress of others. So it's a crucial meditation as we go through the day. So does anyone have any comments or questions? Did you enjoy that? Yeah. You're devoted to Krishna? That's good. Thanks for playing card tales this morning. It's good.
Yeah, good. You mentioned this requires a deep analysis of ourselves to find out whether we really have some love now, even with the sincerity to develop that love for Krishna, as in, and you said it's very difficult.
Well, in one sense it takes an analysis, but here, you know, like Dhruva Maharaj doesn't have to do a lot of analysis. The Lord's there, right, with senior devotees. And not overshadow them while we're doing it. It's gone, which I didn't see in the early days. You know, when devotees associate with senior devotees, the senior devotees hardly get an opportunity to actually sometimes speak, or you know, the young devotees are sort of it's all about them. You know, Dhruva was in the presence of the Lord, and he allowed the Lord to, you know, manifest his wonderful glories. Personalities like Jarasandha are in the presence of the Lord, but it was all about Jarasandha. So he said, he can make a statement, like he can read this verse of the, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. If we read this translation, would we ever come up with this statement that, you know, one can experience? So wonderful. This is a, you know, he's a preacher, you know. He was able to travel throughout the world, and when he banned, and we usually misunderstand, and bang, here it is, clear as day, lights on. Very simple. Literally, we're just trying to hear Srila Prabhupada. So that's association. Generally, association means like that, that, you know, we associate with senior devotees who are, you know, very, you know, they have love for God. You want love for God, you associate with devotees who manifest love for God. And don't be manifesting our own glories so that we're not even seeing what they're doing. You give those devotees opportunity to you know, manifest, you know. So, but, you know, one time Guru Kishore Das Babaji was asked that Krishna just blesses one. Why is it Krishna covers over their glories? You know, no one understood Srila Prabhupada as such an exalted devotee until he did what he did. Over. And he was asked, why is that? Krishna, you know, is saying that the advancement in Krishna consciousness, he wants us all to go back to Godhead, and the most advancement you can make is associated with a pure devotee, and yet he covers over the glories. Why is that? It doesn't make sense. And Krishna says, because, Gaur Kishore gave the answer that if Krishna reveals the glories of his devotees to insincere people, then, you know, whatever little they do for that devotee, Krishna becomes obliged, you know, literally to become the property of that devotee, you know. Such is the power that, you know, they have the ability to give Krishna, you know, if one does a little service for Krishna's pure devotee, Krishna becomes indebted to that person. Some, you know, we have the, you know, the bums who used to walk in and sometimes put toilet paper in the, you know, the storefront where Prabhupada was preaching or something. Krishna becomes indebted, you know, done this little service. So, generally, Krishna, so Gaur Kishore explains that, therefore, Krishna tests the devotee a little to see that they're somewhat sincere. And then, you know, when the sincerity is there, then he actually reveals to that person, or, you know, the devotees just do their normal thing, that, and the person thinks, wow, you know, Srila Prabhupada just does his usual thing. We think, oh, you know, Srila Prabhupada is so potent and powerful, and Krishna is personally present with him. So, when we're... I'll tell you about all the wonderful things that I'm doing in devotional service. And Prabhu, can you do me a little favour? Could you do this for me? And then we engage in, you know, in service. So, You know, the secret is, it doesn't take a lot of self-analysis. If we associate nicely with really nice devotees who are manifesting their love for God, you'll see it straight away. Especially if we just pull back a little bit and actually offer that, you know, we really want to associate, do some service, and you know, learn about love of God. We're not there for some other pretense. We're not associating with that person because they're connected with, you know, I can socially climb through this person. You know, this person is very, you know, this person's got a big social group. I'd like to move into this friendship circle. You know, this person, you know, lives up the road. I could probably stay there sometimes. You know, this person has this facility or that facility, whatever, you know. This person, you know, is the sort of person who will promote me. If we associate with a devotee just for the purpose of actually, you know, associating with devotees and, you know, seeing, you know, the level of love of God that they have, then it becomes perfectly obvious of, you know, where we are and where they are, because there is no comparison. You know, we like to, I mean, speaking for myself, but generally, you know, we like to think that we are Vaishnavas, but it's sort of a, we say, it's a real merciful opportunity. Someone says, you know, we can be addressed as Vaishnavas. But Vaishnava is very, very exalted. But we generally, we just accept, yes, we call ourselves Vaishnavas, but it's actually a very exalted thing. One time Prabhupada was with one of his disciples. He used to do this thing where the disciples would, Prabhupada would present like an atheistic thing against Krishna or materialistic or the scientist view, and they would have to defeat him as devotees. So one time Srila Prabhupada was doing that, you know, with the devotees, and then there's one disciple, he had a shot. You are not Vaishnava, you will fall down at the drop of a hat. Prabhupada says, as soon as you forget Krishna, you're immediately fallen. So, yes, I'm Vaishnava. How often do I even remember Krishna? I'm going to try and think of all the times I remember Krishna, not the times I forget him. You know, Vaishnava doesn't forget Krishna. You know, so, you know, you associate with devotees, and you think, this devotee, I've been with him all day, he hasn't forgotten Krishna once, he hasn't stopped talking about Krishna once, he hasn't stopped serving Krishna once. Like that, you know. But sometimes we just see them briefly, you know, crossing the courtyard or going to some festival or whatever like that. We may not actually understand. Any other questions or comments? Sorry. Well, sure, the problem. How did you